Well, first of all, good morning, my sisters and brothers in Christ. Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 20, and that could be found on page 1501 and 2 in your pew Bibles. The first is dealing with the salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The next one will be the fulfillment of the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Caesar.
Thank you.
Let us be in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Today, as we remember fathers, I think of the influence that my dad had on me. He was a rough man, not given to worrying about how he looked or how he sounded. He was a funny man. He always took everything in life as amusement. He just had a fringe of hair around, and one day somebody said something about the bald spot on top, and he said, "I beg your pardon, if I prefer a wide part, that's my business." He had a big stomach, and somebody called attention to it one day, and he said, "I'm following doctor's orders." And they said, "What orders?" And he said, "The doctor said, keep an eye on your weight." And so I got it out there where I could. He was a man of truth, even if you didn't want to hear it. He took a strap to a wayward child. He made me cut my own switch one day to give me a whipping. Yet I remember his hugs and his praises. He was the salt of the earth. In Jesus' unique way of preaching, his lessons seem to remind us of things in our own life. In today's scripture, his lesson is about salt. What an everyday subject for Jesus to talk about. Is it any wonder that the Pharisees looked down their noses at this common man standing on a hillside, 5,000 people, 5,000 men, we don't know how many women, in the crowd, and he's talking about salt. As usual, I went to the dictionary and found the qualities of salt: preservation, purity, healing, and flavoring. As I studied about these important qualities, it made me see how important Jesus' statement to the people, "You are the salt of the earth." We have a lot to accomplish: preservation, purity, healing, and flavoring. I decided I wanted to share my memories of salt with you today. The first memory that came to mind was about Mrs. Decker, our next door neighbor, when I was a child. Mrs. Decker was not allowed to eat salt. So when she made a roast, she would take time to make gravy and send it over to my family. Because she couldn't taste it, the gravy was so salty. It wasn't a very pleasant thing to eat her gravy. But the memory is more than salty gravy, though. It is Mrs. Decker taking the time to make gravy and give it to her neighbor. I guess you could say my memory of salt with Mrs. Decker is her gift of time. Another memory of salt is when I was little. My mother was hanging clothes in the yard and I was playing in the grass. I disturbed some yellow jacket bees and they proceeded to vent their anger on me. I was stung in about a dozen places. My mother scooped me up into her arms and rushed into the house. With no car and a doctor 8 to 10 miles away, my mother had to improvise. She made a paste of salt and covered my little bee-stung body. My memory of salt with my mother is her caring touch. My grandmother was big on quoting sayings and old wives' tales, not always using them exactly as they were meant to be used. When my brother and sister and I would get into an argument, as siblings often do, my grandmother would say, "Throw some salt over your shoulder." She would mean for us to let go of our argument. My memory is my grandmother and how she hated conflict. Tears remind me of salt. And even though most of my life has been pretty good, I have shed some in my time. I shed tears when my children were badly hurt, tears when I lost aunts and uncles and mother and father-in-law and mother and father. I thought my tears would never stop flowing at the loss of our son, Larry. And unless you have been through it, you cannot imagine losing your life's mate, and the tears are often shed. Tears are shed each time I leave an appointment in a church, at the loss of dear friends I had made and would rarely see again. My memory of salt is that I am reminded that life is not always fair, that bad things do happen to good people. For the last couple of decades, I can relate to the scripture, Mark 9:50. Salt is good, but when it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? At first, I could hardly bear it when the doctor said no more salt. And my mouth would water at the thought of an apple slice with salt on it, or McDonald's fries. My memory is of my aunt, my father, my grandmother, who were subjected to that bland diet. It reminds me of how fleeting is our good health and our ability to do the things we want to do. It reminds me that life has seasons and we cannot recover some of it. And finally, I am reminded of a young man, 33 years old, on trial for his life, who was beaten and scourged and given salty vinegar water for his last drink. I am reminded of how he stood on the mountain a short time before and talked about salt and light and law. I would imagine that the people who sat on the hillside that day remembered things in their life when he talked of those everyday items like salt. I am reminded of how Jesus wept his salty tears with Martha and Mary when they lost their brother, and of the times he flavored his food with salt as he broke bread with his friends, disciples, and even his enemies. Memories, reminders, remembering. Isn't that what Jesus asked us to do with the Last Supper? Remember. I think he wanted us to remember the people in our life, like Mrs. Decker, and my mother, my grandmother. Remember those who were and are the salt of the earth, like my dad. Jesus came to bring peace. He wants us to remember. When he sheds tears, when we shed tears, he is present. Remember, health and life are fleeting. Remember, we have been given our 80 to be the salt of the earth. Remember to realize that it is in remembering Jesus that one understands the overwhelming love that God has for each one of us. My dad couldn't tell you a specific verse in the Bible. He wasn't much of a churchgoer. He never read the Bible aloud to us. I could spend a lot of time telling you about the ways in which my dad lived the salt of the earth life. I know you have had people that fill that spot too. The Bible tells it again in Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Let us pray. We see you, Lord, in all your wondrous works, in dawning day and setting sun, at friends at home and away. We know you, Lord, in many different ways as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord, so often when sin's temptations make us fear. We praise you, Lord, for all your boundless grace. Our sight and sense are your creation, and we keep our thoughts on your boundless love for us. Amen.